How come every time the College Football Playoff Committee releases their rankings, I feel like I'm getting trolled? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Was anyone else feeling like this is a joke, right? And I understand, Perloff, that I'm not a math major. I understand that two losses are more than one loss. But you can't then say you're using the eye test. But for some teams, you're using the eye test. And for some teams, you're using how many teams did you lose to and who are those losses versus who are those wins. And I think we all have gripes with the current rankings. And my number one gripe is Texas still being third. Texas is third. Obviously, it was Oregon 1, Ohio State 2. Texas is 3. Penn State is 4. Indiana is 5. Texas, to me, being 3, and you know we got nothing but love for Texas. And obviously, we're on in Austin. We love you guys. We love it. But you don't deserve to still be third in the country when your best win right now is Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt has had some good wins, like over Alabama, but Vanderbilt also has been losing. So I just don't understand, Perloff, how they get to have this top five ranking. I'm not saying Texas doesn't deserve to be ranked. I'm just saying, how do you have this top five ranking when you lost to Georgia by 2 touchdowns?
Right.
You beat Michigan and Oklahoma. Those don't look like good wins anymore. You beat Vanderbilt, as I said, and yes, you beat Florida, who is literally down to their third-string quarterback who started his career at Yale.
Right, but even so, like, yeah, but who you're dropping below Penn State, who's beaten, like, Maryland, dropping below Indiana, who's beaten, like, who's Indiana beaten? Like,
nobody.
Indiana State? So, and BYU hasn't beaten anyone, so you get it.
That's not true,
and Notre
though.
Dame, who'd BYU beat?
Didn't they beat Kansas State?
Yeah, but Kansas State has 2 losses. I mean, who's Notre Dame beating? I know they beat A&M earlier in the year, but I don't know how great A&M is. Like, you're running into a huge, huge problem. Everything you're saying about Texas applies to Penn State, Indiana, BYU, Notre Dame, I think Miami should be higher. I think Alabama should be higher. And I think Georgia should be higher. So I think, like, why you're picking on Texas and not Penn State?
Oh, seems Notre Dame. I think Penn State also deserves to be dinged here as well. But they're,
why did Notre Dame get into that
as well.
Right. The general, I totally agree with you in principle. I just wouldn't call out Texas. Like, they ignored strength of schedule. They don't seem to care. I think they're scared of the AP rankings and they want to follow that. But generally, like, they don't care about strength of schedule. So that's going to be the ultimate decider of this, and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, well, Texas, their strength of schedule is 80, and
yeah,
Georgia's
no,
is 1. I mean, the fact that Georgia is now out, while it may have been predictable because they just lost to Ole Miss, so that gave them a second loss, but not all losses are the same, because for the flip side of Georgia, you also have top 10 wins, and if they beat Tennessee, another top 10 win. You know, the thing is, it's easy to kind of pile on Georgia right now because, yeah, the offense doesn't look great. We get that the offense doesn't look great, but they've beaten top 10 teams on the road. Texas hasn't done that. Penn State hasn't done that. To your point, Indiana hasn't done it. Other BYU hasn't beaten top 10 teams. At least for Indiana and BYU, they're undefeated. So I guess you get a little bit of bump for that.
Sure.
But Texas is not undefeated. They lost to Georgia. They shouldn't enjoy, and same with Penn State. They're not undefeated. They lost to Ohio State. They shouldn't enjoy the same protections, if you will, that an undefeated team
enjoys.
Yeah,
but one thing I will defense, there's an FPI ranking too, a Football Power Index ranking, and Texas is number 2. Alabama's 1. So somehow, and I don't understand how they create the FPI, I'm going to be honest, that there is, like, I feel like people, yes, Texas got killed at home by Georgia. It's kind of crazy that they're so far ahead of them. But I feel like you're picking on the wrong team. I feel like the Penn State's...
Okay,
Indiana,
let's talk about Penn State.
Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame. To me, like, the Big Ten just got an edge here over the SEC. And I don't think the SEC is going to like this if it ends up holding this way.
I mean, what's your biggest complaint?
I think Alabama and Georgia should be higher. I think Georgia being out is crazy. I think the committee said, all right, well, they're probably going to beat up on I think Nico might be out for Saturday for Tennessee. I think they think, well, they'll beat Tennessee at home and they'll get back in. But then they're going to have to go on the road. I just think, to me, it's about quality wins, not about the losses. And maybe that's wrong. I think, and Alabama should definitely be higher. Like, I think the 2-loss teams The committee has to ignore those losses because those are tough SEC road losses. Right. Honestly, you and I kind of disagree with this. I think a lot of teams would have gone into that atmosphere in Oxford, Mississippi on Saturday with the fog coming down, the crowd going crazy, and it was dark. I think that a lot of teams would have lost at Ole Miss. So I give a road loss like Georgia. I give a road loss a lot of credence. I do not kill a team for that. So I'm putting two win teams, and I think eventually a three loss team could even get in from the SEC, and I have no problem with that at all.
I mean, listen, Georgia lost at Ole Miss, and they also lost at Alabama. These are really tough places to play.
Right.
I understand that.
And you're right. By the way, Texas lost at home. Ding them as well.
Thank you.
But that being said, like, the teams behind Texas don't have any stronger resumes than Texas. They're just almost in the same boat.
I know, but here's the funny thing about these things, right? So you have Indiana, who is ranked this high. So they're fifth in the rankings. They'd be seeded seventh. They'd be hosting Alabama in a first-round game on their campus if the playoff was today. But the thing is about when having Indiana so high is that you wonder, even if they lose to Ohio State, which is going to be by far the toughest and the only really tough, air quotes, game they have left on their schedule,
right?
How far are they going to drop?
Well, that's the debate. Yeah, I think the committee's saying we'll let you in with one loss.
Okay, but is that right? Because they've only beaten lower tier Big Ten teams within a non-conference schedule of FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. You know, the combined record of the teams that they have played is 40-53. So if you lose to Ohio State, but you still get to stay, your resume really gets you still into the college football playoff. Meanwhile, you could have, again, I don't think Georgia will ultimately be on the outside looking in, but you could have a Georgia team that beat Clemson in a neutral field,
yeah,
that has also beaten top 10 teams, on the road.
I mean, if Georgia beats Tennessee, they're in. That's a reality. But my counterpoint to all that is Kurt Cignetti's super fun.
Yeah, we love him. I know.
Like, their coach is the best soundbite going right now, so let's put him in. And I'm fine with that logic.
Yeah, it just there's a problem here with this moving target of this committee. And, you know, there's going to be zero accountability for this committee, as there always is. And Ward Manuel, who's the athletic director of Michigan, gets up there and he's answering questions and he has no idea how to answer any of this stuff, because the real answer is biases and eye test. And he can't come out and say that.
By bias, you mean like brand loyalty to Notre Dame, stuff like that?
Of course.
Yep.
Well, if there's brand loyalty, then it's Alabama and Georgia are getting screwed then. Because what about their
That
brands?
Is weird.
It's brand loyalty, I think, to the Big Ten.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's Big Ten loyalty for some weird reason.
Well, you pick out Texas. To me, the weird one is Penn State. Like, I just do not understand, like, why is it Penn State over Tennessee? Like,
what? I have no idea.
And I understand. I think it's the preseason rankings. I honestly think that, like, the AP rankings in the beginning of the year have determined a lot of this. And it seems somewhat random. Penn State obviously has talented players. Like, how do you ultimately judge these teams? Like, do you say, let's put them on a neutral field and who do you like? Who's favored? How many NFL players are there? Like, it's hard to tell, because if you go by NFL players, like, some of these teams don't seem to have high-end talent.
So Penn State, zero top 25 wins. The home loss to Ohio State, obviously. And the eye test, good wins against Wisconsin and Washington, close wins against USC and Bowling Green. So where's your eye test?
The Penn State stuff is ridiculous. And I feel like I agree with, I kind of get you what you're saying about Texas and Alabama and Georgia. I'm looking out for the little guy. The little guy up there in Bloomington who keeps having to look up to Penn State in the rankings every week, even though they're undefeated and they play in the same conference. And it's purely because Ohio State just happened to be on Penn State's schedule. That's the only reason that Penn State's ahead of them.
Well, they'll be on Indiana's schedule in, 2 weeks?
Right. And it's like, well, we played them earlier, so therefore we're higher than you. And I guess maybe Indiana won't quite matter, but I do think that this is starting to become ridiculous with Indiana being ranked behind Penn State, even though they play in the same conference. They're undefeated. Penn State does not have a better win on the schedule than Indiana has. And yet Penn State keeps getting put ahead of them based on an eye test that I don't think exists.
Yeah.
Penn State
yeah.
didn't look good against USC. They didn't look good against Ohio State. They couldn't move the ball. That little guy with the departed costume on telling James Franklin three times inside the 10, couldn't score a touchdown, no points, what happened? He was right.
Yeah,
and
but
Indiana's been putting up numbers against everybody. Michigan's a good defense. They didn't light them up. But they've been killing everybody, and it seems like it doesn't matter. This is ridiculous.
But, EJ, they know the committee is not dumb. They know they're going to be able to judge the Ohio State game, Indiana, Ohio State, just like they'll be able to judge how Indiana matches up against Ohio State, then make their decision based on that.
Yeah, but
whoever
was
closer to Ohio State gets ranked higher.
Okay, but here's the thing. Because Indiana is so high right now, even if, say, they lose by two touchdowns, are they going to fall out? I don't know. I saw Texas lose by two touchdowns to Georgia, and they're sitting at ranked third seeded second.
Yeah, there's no way. They're going to the playoff.
They are.
Yeah. Probably, by the way, I'm assuming.
With the strength of schedule of like 112 or whatever.
Well,
I think it was 100.
Yeah, it's in the hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, here's the bottom line. Is Georgia being left out is a major problem. And I just don't think that the committee is, they're self-protective. Like, they don't want to do that. They know that Georgia's probably going to be Tennessee this week and move up. Which is weird because then Tennessee drops out, and Tennessee's probably a much better team than some of these teams. They're going to be in the 12.
But this is why I feel like watching these and reading about these rankings is just so aggravating. Because it's like they're setting it up for Georgia to beat Tennessee, and then they get to the rankings they really want. And none of them actually matter until the final ranking.
Yep.
But again, there's no accountability. It's a nameless, faceless committee made up of bureaucrats who can just decide willy-nilly whatever they want. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating for when you're trying to make sense of the whole thing.
That is one thing that they've all, even the four team, like they're always like, well, we're going to do this week, and everyone on earth knows they're about to. When it comes down to the nitty-gritty at the very end, you know, for example, Ohio State's going to jump TCU. I mean, that is like, at the end of the day, they are most likely going to pick the big brands to jump ahead.
Yeah, but you want to know what? Here's the thing. After the Florida State debacle last year, and I know that was four teams and not 12, I'm not so sure they always do the right thing.
What do you mean? No, they don't do the right thing. They do the self-serving thing. And the Florida State one was, Florida State's a pretty big brand, but I mean, come on, look who they put in.
Yeah.
Texas and Alabama. Those are massive brands. So at the end of the day, I understand, like, what was the year TCU got killed in the final game? They put them in even though they lost a Big 12 title game. I was actually surprised about that. But that'll be interesting, too, to see how do they judge. And Reese Davis keeps asking us, how are you going to judge if they go to the conference title game and get destroyed? Are you going to ding them? But they have to play an extra game. So I don't think you can ding a team for losing in the conference title game, right?
Good luck figuring this thing out.
No, it'll sort itself out to some degree. But what I if I'm an SEC fan, I'm frustrated because you're going to have to go in these unusually cold weather games. College football doesn't have cold weather games. Nobody's at home in December. It's the first time this has ever happened.
Well, and Greg McElroy made that point yesterday on the show, or a similar point, not your point, a similar point, which is that's something he likes about this. So they were giving the theoretical matchups if the playoffs started today, and it would have been Alabama traveling to Bloomington, Indiana for a first-round matchup. Like, Alabama doesn't play in cold weather like that.
No, nobody does. There's no cold December games except for the Army-Navy game.
Ohio State, Michigan can be really cold.
But that's Thanksgiving. And yeah, I mean, it's a little earlier, though.
I was going to say, like, that's going to be the wild card that I think nobody's anticipating. Yeah. People keep assuming that Indiana and Penn State are just great in 10-degree weather. I'm like,
no.
There's no evidence of that. They don't, like, as Pritoff said, like, it doesn't get that cold until, like, the last game of the year.
December has been warmer. I'm not getting into bigger things, but it's shifted. Like, I feel like winter hits in February nowadays for some reason.
It's always just kind of a little funny to me as someone who grew up in a super cold place. Yeah. There's always that one cold streak that goes through the South, like towards the end of the season. And I feel bad that people don't have like the proper coats. You know, like, I don't know if people in the South know how to dress for the cold because. Yeah. Why would you? Why would you ever care? You need a coat for like 2 days out of the year.
It's 50 degrees and everybody just loses their mind.
It's like all these sorority sisters just out there freezing.
But here's, just to bring it back to the rankings for 1 second. My problem is like, why would you schedule anyone hard on your schedule when you see these rankings? Like, if you're a major program, so basically you're gutting the September schedule because every program's going to be like, forget it. There's no reason.
Why would Georgia ever play Clemson again?
They just don't care. Like, the committee does not value that at all to me.
Well, it might end up helping Notre Dame, but because they played A&M and they won, in Texas. But the thing is, Notre Dame is the last team that needs help.
Well, yeah, but Notre Dame's schedule is an absolute, it's a laugh riot. It's a joke. It's a joke beyond a joke.
I mean, but they went to Texas A&M in the first game of the season.
But they don't have a conference schedule, so that they don't count in here. I mean, like, their schedule is embarrassing. Like, they could be the number 5 seed and be a 10-point underdog.
College football playoff rankings got us riled up this morning. Kevin's our pal in San Antonio. Kevin? What's the conversation down in Texas?
You know what? Y'all rung the bell. Remember back in the 80s when Miami was undefeated? Good players and stuff, but they had a weak schedule. They had a weak schedule, and they scheduled them number 1. We're going to do the same. History repeats itself. It's going to be the same thing. Texas, I think Texas should deserve 1 or 2. How about Indiana? Indiana is strong. They had a good schedule. They should be, to me, I was born in East Chicago, Indiana. I think Indiana should deserve 1.
Kevin, you're out of your mind. You're out of your dome.
I like the loyalty, though. I mean,
only college football.
I just want to be clear. We are a pro Indiana Hoosiers team. I think you have to be careful here because they are the darling of this sport right now. They're so fun.
We're not anti anybody. We're just saying who deserves what ranking is what we're talking about. It doesn't mean we don't like the program.
I do. And also, by the way, there are a couple more weeks of regular season play. There are going to be 15 massive upsets that change everything.
Watch Oregon just win the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, by the way, Oregon, not super tested either. Like, who knows?
They beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I know, at home by one bizarre holding call. Like, honestly.
They were tested early in the year by Boise.
Yeah.
Shockingly by teams from Idaho.
Do you think Oregon's been tested? I think that is a major unknown for college football. Like, you know how Oregon's going to match up against Alabama? Like, good luck figuring that out.
I think it'd be funny with all this controversy if Oregon's just ranked 1 and then just goes through the whole thing and just wins, like, all of this for nothing.
I don't think anybody expects that. Like, honestly, like, I think Oregon would be a pick'em against many of these teams because those are not going to be in Oregon. Like, Oregon plays Ohio State. Ohio State's definitely favored, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they basically played them to a draw in Eugene.
Right,
so
next game would be in a dome.
The other thing too is Ohio State would have played one more game because Oregon would have a first round bye. So what happens? Do you lose somebody in that game? Does someone get hurt? How do you look against? Say it was Boise, then you'd have to. It would be Boise State going to Ohio State would be the first round match.
Well, but Ohio State and Oregon will play in the Big Ten title game, right?
Which is
indoors.
If Ohio State, of course, beats Indiana.
Right. Oh, I know. You're right. Good point.
That's the matchup. We'll know who's Oregon playing. And then that becomes the thing that, I mean, I'm sure Oregon wants a number 1 overall seed, but a rematch with Ohio State, like, what does that look like in a conference championship game?
Yeah, you don't want them 3 times. The other thing, too, is there's so much parity. Like, there's no number 1 team. And this isn't against Oregon. Like, everybody's right there. And thank you, NIL. The 18 team could beat the 2 team here.
855-212-4227. College football playoff rankings, and just, do you think there is a number 1 team in college football? Who is it? It's technically Oregon, but do you think they are number 1 running away with it? 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Real quick, Maggie, we were just talking about the college football playoff seeding. A lot of complaints.
Yep.
I went nuts on Twitter last night. You would be surprised at what people said back to me.
Well, what did you say?
I just said they have no idea what they're doing.
General critique.
Just a general, they have no idea what they're doing. Okay. They don't take strength of schedule.
Yeah, that always goes over well.
A lot of people said, bring back the 4-team playoff.
Are you serious?
Yes. Everyone's like, I liked it. 4-12 is ridiculous. It's just sort of accentuating the faults of this committee. And when you said that, I thought you were out of your mind. Like, 12 is better than 4. It's just math. And there are a lot of people who are with you. I still don't get it, like, because 4 would have all the same problems. But there does seem to be this movement back to 4. Maybe you are leading a movement.
Man, I lost that poll, I think, 100-0. Should it be 12? Should it be 4? And to be honest, when I see the first round matchups, like if the college football playoffs started today, do I want to see Boise State go to Ohio State? Yes. Do I want to see Notre Dame go to Tennessee? Yes. Ole Miss, Penn State, Alabama go to Indiana? Like,
yes.
I love sports and I want to watch them. I just hate the fact that we have more teams just means more of the same BS, biases.
Yeah.
Like dumb explanations. And I could do without that.
I hear you.
I can do without that.
I understand your logic. But at the end of the day, this is probably a safer system. There's going to be less injustice with 12. There'll still be some. And by the way,
Georgia literally would be out today. If the college football playoffs started today, Georgia would not be in the field. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. So I don't necessarily agree with you that there's going to be fewer injustices.
Well, it's almost mathematically impossible if Georgia has two losses, they're in. So like everyone knows that. So the injustice is temporary there. There is one person, Manny, who wants the BCS back.
Yeah.
That's a Manny take.
Let's bring us back the computers in the two-team format or whatever they did.
You want to know what they say about, what was that quote about like history is different if you didn't live through it?
Yes.
Like, Manny, you didn't really live through the BCS.
No, not really.
Well, right. So you're just reading about it in some kind of history book like, oh, yeah, computers. That made a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Urban Meyer. I saw him a couple of times raise that golden football thing or crystal ball thing.
You have to understand, the BCS was a major step up from before, which was just who the heck knows what's going on. Split champions and craziness. And
what'd you guys do? Flip a coin or something?
No, it's just whoever claimed it.
The best team I ever saw was...
claimed championship.
Exactly.
My Penn State Nittany Lions in 1994 is the best football team I've ever seen, and they had no chance to get the Nats. I forget who they lost to. USC? No, who was number one that year?
Why didn't they just claim the championship?
I think they did.
They did.
Yeah.
But it didn't really matter.
Manny, it was anarchy. Like, I just think it's one of those things that if you had lived through it, do you notice that you're on an island here and no one else? You're like, hey, we're going streaking back to the BCS. We're going to the gymnasium and no one's behind you.
Penn State was ranked number two, even though they were undefeated. Nebraska was voted national champion.
It was a big part. That brought about the BCS. So the BCS was to avoid that problem so they could get Penn State playing Nebraska in the title game, because it used to be the bowl slots and the conferences determine the champion.
Exactly.
Not even, so BCS is way better than before. And that's why 12, I'm pro 12. I'd go 16. I'm just going to say it right now.
Well, don't worry.
What?
Because it's going to end up being 68 like the NCAA tournament before.
Yeah, if we have a play-in to get into the 64, then I know we've gone too far. But until then, I'm fine.
Can't wait for Prairie View A&M to declare the championship.
Yeah, and everybody's going to be drinking out of a straw and just drooling all over themselves. It's not basketball. That's actually a toll on these bodies. Gene's in Maryland. Gene, you disagree with me. You want 12 over 4.
I do. I just think there's a lot of parity out there. I think the more that you have, the better.
Well, I'd expect nothing more from someone who sounds exactly like Mel Kiper.
Hey, Gene,
oh, my God. Hey, I got the hair like that, too.
Gene, when are the Maryland Terps going to get into this picture? It's about time.
Yeah,
it's been. Yeah, we're right next to Boomer. I think that's the last time you guys were good. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm 56, so hopefully before I die, and I'm also a Cowboy fan, so hopefully before Jerry dies. So, I mean, it's a terrible thing. Hey, I do want to switch gears real quick because I love what Maggie just said. 64 in basketball. Take the first four out. I've been saying this for 20 years. Because on Selection Sunday, you have all these kids and these coaches that you show their face when they were bubble teams and they didn't get in. So I know you're not going to agree with this, but I've told all my fellas, look, you double the field, make it 128. The travel won't be an issue. The home team or higher seed holds the first game. And you're right back to 64. It's one more game. Everyone would love it. And I guarantee you, you would have some major upsets from teams. You would say, well, they're number 100. You know, how did they win? I just think it's one more game. And you keep, Maggie just said, we'll make it, just hold on. It'll be 16.
No, Gene, you might be right about the NCAA tournament. But then would you want it, as someone who is a Maryland fan, do you want to get rid of the conference championships? You want to get rid of the ACC championship?
No, not at all. But that does hurt, too. It has hurt teams where you had a great season. And, hey, how about go back to college basketball? You win the regular season, you lose your tournament championship. Now you don't go for the automatic bid. I just don't think there's a solution for it, Maggie. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing. I love listening to you guys coming to work, and I love how you bang on my man Perloff.
Way.
It's a lot of love, Gene. I just don't let him get away with anything, like bandwagoning on the historic start for the Winnipeg Jets.
My Winnipeg Jets. Yeah. No, one thing, 120, I think, Gene and you guys, why did you, nobody wants 128 teams in the NCAA tournament, right?
Well, to Gene's point, you have a team that, you know,
like Murray State or something.
Has a great season, loses the conference final, you know, and all of a sudden is out.
Well, I think the problem is you're going to put the bracketologists out of work. This is an entire field of, what's Joe Lunardi going to do? If there are 128 teams, is he going to break down, you know, Austin Peay versus Robert Morris? Like, that's getting pretty thin.
I think John Rothstein's going to find a way to make it through.
By the way, where are the college football bracketologists? I want to apply for this job. I haven't heard that word applied to this yet. I did see that there was a brackets expert on ESPN because I think we're getting into that kind of territory with 12 teams.
I mean, to be honest, I think EJ's kind of leading the charge here because he came into the studio during the break. He's like, you know who you guys got to watch out for? Washington State. I was like,
Pullman,
you're a
baby.
Maniac.
Pullman, watch out.
There's no, the powers that be, would, they could be undefeated. They would not let Washington State in there.
Washington State could beat the Seattle Seahawks, and they would not let them
in. Yeah.
They are not rewarding the Pac-2.
Yeah, the conferences, the people who run these conferences still have some power.
And I'm sad to say that because we have we're nothing against Washington State and Oregon State. It's not their fault that their conference completely abandoned them.
I'd be careful if I was a committee, too. If they screw the SEC might say, we're taking our football and we're going away. Like, again, like we haven't talked about that a lot since we went to 12 teams, but I would be very careful about leaving these SEC teams out. I'm being dead serious. Like, they can be like, oh, you're going to put the Big Ten over us? Well, you goodbye, college football playoff, because they are the power of the sport.
Amazing. So now it's just like, who's getting bullied?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I just think the SEC like deserves a lot of credit. I'm big, put all those teams in.
You know what I think we need to happen? I'm sorry to all the fans. I know this kind of ends up being something for my team, but it doesn't have to be my team. The best thing that would happen in this first year if a non-SEC or Big Ten team wins this thing. I think, honestly, if you're a neutral fan, that's what you should be rooting for. Because like Perloff said, he's right. Like, they own all the power. But I think if you're rooting, if you would say, all right, we need a Notre Dame, a Miami, a Boise, an SMU, you want one of those teams to win. So they don't have the leg to stand on to be like, all right, we're going to take our ball and go home if you don't give us more
seats.
Yeah,
but that's not how bullies work. Bullies wouldn't care. They would just say, all right, well, you know, we don't, they could just say, you know, they don't want to be embarrassed. So they'll just go. Not that they would be embarrassed, but right. I think you can't reason with a bully.
It's so funny when you said that. I'm like, none of that feels like it's in the realm of possibility. Like
Notre Dame,
SMU,
Miami, or
maybe, yeah, well, maybe Notre Dame, but SMU, like, I cannot see them getting through this field. And
BYU.
BYU, same thing. Maybe I'm being naive. It doesn't feel like the NCAA tournament where the upsets are that possible. Are we really looking like, hey, BYU can run this table? Does anybody think that?
Well, that's why we'd be tuning in. I mean, in theory.
Yeah, but I think we're going to have, there's definitely going to be some blowouts in this tournament.
Yeah, there's blowouts when there were four teams.
Yeah.
Blowouts in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah.
That's true. Let's get to Bogus. 100%. She's got headlines for us on this fine Wednesday.
Hi. Good morning again. Headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
EAGLES. Our lives are complete again. Installment number 2 of the NBA in-season tournament is here, including some of those migraine-inducing courts. Maybe that's why Eric Spoelstra lost track of his timeouts last night in Detroit after the Pistons tied the game with 1.1 seconds left. The Heat head coach stomped onto the floor, called a timeout he did not have. So Malik Beasley hit the tie-breaking free throw.
There's really no excuse for that. I'm 17 years in. We had talked about it in the huddle. I knew that we didn't have anything. I just got emotional and reactive on that, and I just made a horrendous mistake there at the end.
The Pistons got a 123-121 win.
Did anybody see Jalen Rose's reaction to all of that?
No.
Oh, was this a national championship game? I'm sorry.
Well, no, not particularly, but Jalen Rose sure was slack-jawed by the events that happened.
Because this is a second bad timeout that he's witnessed in person?
Oh, what happened in the first one? Again, history didn't begin before 2000, you guys. You guys have to let me.
Right.
If that's his list, the gap between 1 and 2 is an ocean.
Yeah. Chris Webber, Eric Spoelstra in November, not the same thing.
NBA Cup, too. You got to forget, you can't remember the prominence of the NBA Cup.
That punk Steph Curry scored the Warriors' final 12 points, 37 total, in a 121-117 home win over the Mavs. Klay Thompson, 22, in his return to the Bay Area.
Night-night, Klay.
Joel Embiid, 13 points. He missed 9 of 11 shots in his season debut. The Sixers losing at home to the Knicks, 111-99. The T-Wolves were 122-108 losers in Portland. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, and Penn State atop the new CFP rankings. The Ducks, Buckeyes, Longhorns, and BYU would have first-round buys in this bracket. The first-round matchups would include Indiana hosting Alabama and Notre Dame going to Tennessee. Georgia, as you were just discussing, is number 12 this week but would not have a spot in the field because Boise State needs one as the highest-ranked group of five school. Far from all of that, Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables getting a double vote of confidence yesterday from the school president and AD, which means he'll be fired shortly.
Can we add coach of the year on top of it just to make sure he's fired?
The Sooners 1-5 in their first SEC season. They are 21-15 overall under Venables. College hoops last night. Number 19, Kentucky rallying to down 6th-ranked Duke 77-72 in the Champions Classic in Atlanta. Cooper Flagg, 26 points and 12 rebounds, but two huge turnovers in the final seconds.
Can I say something really quickly about this? I know that we do neutral court college basketball games,
yep,
and it happens. I thought this one, and this is not an indictment on Atlanta or anything like that. I would have said this if it was anywhere. I think last night really suffered from not being on the home courts of the college stadiums. The atmosphere would have been so much better if that was either in Kentucky or at Duke, or if that was at Michigan State or Kansas.
Yeah.
It was a pin drop in there, and I'm not blaming the people in Atlanta, but it was a pin drop. It did not feel like a college basketball game at all. Give us the stuff we're coming for college hoops, which is fun home crowds, full of student section, full of people getting up for it, and instead it was felt corporate and just kind of flat.
Yeah, but you'll get a whole season of that.
And you had that with Kansas and North Carolina on Saturday or Sunday, whenever they played. But no, I feel that. You say it's not an indictment on Atlanta. I will say it was an indictment on Atlanta. Oh. And I love the
They come again, Knicks fans.
Well, hey. Because, look, the Champions Classic travels. They go to multiple cities. One of them is Madison Square Garden. Those games are electric.
Well,
and
but
there are other... Yeah, there are other
that's true. I've seen games in
because this
New
is
York.
A series where these four teams play every year. So they travel around the country. It's not. It doesn't always look like that. And I agree. Last night was an embarrassment in terms of the fan and response. I don't know what was going on.
State Farm Arena is usually very quiet when basketball is being played there.
Oh, stop bragging, man.
I don't actually remember it being in Atlanta before. I wonder if this is the first year there.
I think this might have been the first year, because you're right. Usually it's like LA,
Chicago, New York.
Like, those are usually the teams. And Chicago usually also does a really good job. Like, those games are usually really fun. Maybe because they don't have a regional, I guess Duke technically would be the closest regional team, but I'm blaming Atlanta.
Celebrities were great, though. Did you see Celebrity Row was packed in Atlanta?
I saw Mario Chalmers. Who else was there?
Calvin Johnson was there. Kirk Cousins was there. Steve Smith was there. There was like 7 or 8 other like pro athletes there. Because Atlanta, obviously, a lot of people live there. It's easy to fly in and out. Kirk was wearing his Michigan State jersey, totally into it. And there were like a lot of other. There was music people there.
I think the coolest thing, one of the coolest things about college sports is seeing the former athletes come to the games. Like, it's almost like seeing like an old guy wear his varsity jacket to the high school game who was a superstar. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm a Calvin Johnson super fan, by the way. That guy is the coolest, and everybody worships him. All athletes worship Calvin Johnson. So I understand what you're saying, Meg. You're right. That would have been bananas in Kentucky or Duke. But this is like a one-off. This is an early season thing. It's not like a trend.
So Bill Self becomes the winningest coach in the history of Kansas in the middle of Atlanta. Like, it just, I don't know. That would have been cool if it was in front of the home fan.
Yeah, but it could have been
No, I know you can't predict that.
That's at Madison Square Garden, though. It's different. Coach K, he had win number 900, I think, in MSG, and that was awesome. You know, it's just again, I'm sorry.
There was one guy whistling during free throws, and I was like, sir, we acknowledge you. Now can you please shut up?
My sweet New York Giants, so sweet, so delusional. Germany even knows they stink, but Joe Shane is standing by his boys.
The results have not been what we wanted to be. I don't want to be sitting up here at 2-8. Like, that's not what we want, and nobody's happy about it, and I understand that. But I do see progress, and we're better in a lot of areas. We just got to figure out how to finish games.
Which area?
Yeah. Please point to something specific.
Is
on
that about offense, defense, or special teams? Because they're definitely not better in any of those places.
Maybe catering.
Scout team.
They are evaluating everything during this bye week, including Daniel Jones. Shane says if there is a quarterback change, it will be about football, not business, and that huge injury guarantee that they are flirting with for next season on Jones.
Oh, sure.
The Anaheim Angels are signing veteran catcher Travis d'Arnaud, 2 years, $12 million. The Seattle Kraken scored 2 goals in 10 seconds in the second period of their 5-2 home win over Columbus. And finally, I still don't know what naughty thing Maggie heard in that JJ Reddit cut on Monday morning, but I do know what some folks read on their new toy from Mattel. These were dolls for the new movie/Broadway show Wicked. The packaging was supposed to include the show's official website. Instead, the site on the box, if you typed it in, asked you if you were 18 before entering it was a porn site.
Oh my God.
Mattel telling people to either throw out the packaging or obscure the web address if they want to keep the box that their Wicked doll came in.
Oh, those sound like collector's items now.
I guess you're not. Some of those things you're not supposed to take out of the box, so I guess you're going to keep the box. You got to, blackout wicked.com.
Should they have known that Wicked doesn't have three X's in it? It's not generally spelled that way.
Or are they secretly trying to get more people to come to the theater? Like, wait, I want to go see this Wicked movie.
They're going to be really disappointed when they find out it's the Wizard of Oz.
Ariana Grande's in it? I'm in.
I don't think you're getting the version you were hoping for.
Oh, yeah. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Wait, that's Ariana Grande?
I think that is.
Yes. 100%
she's in the movie.
Wow.
She's not the green person.
She's the
green person.
She's the good witch. She's Glinda the good witch.
Yes. She's the Grinch.
Yeah, that movie, I'm a huge, I'm a Broadway nerd. I don't like to talk about it on air. It's
Let's
not something
do it. That show
about.
Is amazing.
Should.
Wicked, the play is incredible. That movie's going to, every good Broadway play has been turned into a crappy movie. That movie's going to stink.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, I guarantee it's going to be bad. In fact, I've already read that it's bad. So it's really hard to do a musical on the big screen. It's gonna be a bomb. I'm telling you right now, you better off going to Wicked with 3X's.com.
Might be a little more satisfying. Sorry. The joke was right there.
Jeff Goldblum's in it, though. And I know, Maggie, you're a monster fan of Jeff Goldblum.
It's funny now because I can't get the porn site out of my head. I can't imagine Jeff Goldblum in that kind of situation.
I mean, I could. It's hilarious.
The question
is, you were so busy with whether or not you could, you forgot to ask yourself whether you should.
I was trying to get there. I couldn't remember the Jurassic Park.
Chaos Theory is one of the tabs you can click on. Sorry, I don't know. I'm out of my depth here.
You're the only woman on it. You don't know Wicked?
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
The songs are awesome.
Yeah. I'm not really a Broadway person. You guys really are more than I am. But I would say if people are out there planning to visit New York, definitely go see a play over doing most of the touristy New York things. Statue of Liberty, you can take or leave. Empire State Building, take it or leave it. Go see a Broadway show. That will be the best experience.
I feel like we have to take Maggie to a musical now.
You don't take your own advice, but you're telling other people to go see a show.
Oh my God, I went to the Statue of Liberty with my kid. Disaster. Don't do it. Go see Wicked or whatever if you're coming to New York for the holidays.
Or whatever. Come on, Maggie.
I've been to many plays, EJ. I can't. I fell asleep during Book of Mormon.
We need to take you to the MJ play. The MJ, the musical. You will not fall asleep during that.
Ooh. Is Scottie Pippen in that?
No. We have to go to the...
Who plays Horace Grant?
Idris Elba.
We have to go to the Alicia Keys.
Actual casting.
The hot play is the Alicia Keys play. Like, that's supposed to be an amazing experience. Yep. Everyone loves it. What's it called? New York State of Mind or something?
Yeah, I forgot the name of it.
Like the hottest ticket. We, as a group, we should take Maggie because I desperately want to see that one.
I'm so down. I'm so down for this. And we should get Cap to shoot us going in. This would be fun.
I think you guys are going to be disappointed by my response.
Oh, I heard you cannot, if you walk out of it, it's hard to get tickets to, but if you see this play, I heard everybody's just blown away. And if you don't like Alicia Keys, then I don't know what to tell you.
Same.
No, I love it.
Yeah. right, Manny?
Well, damn right.
Double check those Wicked Barbie boxes if you're going to be buying any of them for the holidays.
Can we pull this Broadway segment out of the podcast, by the way? Yeah. This is definitely not good for our manliness. I'm just going to say it.
That ship has sailed. I mean, come on now. What are we saving?
Yeah, Maggie said we couldn't fight because we wore glasses.
Maggie's the toughest person in the room.
Yeah, come on.
She wants to kill people. Elbow random Duke players.
I'm not really a Broadway person. What are you? You don't like TV? You don't like what do you do?
You'll find out after the break. 855-212-4227. Day
on
Rains.
The radio.
Manny, it's before 8 a.m. Little early for the Broadway tunes, no?
To the note right here.
Here's my fear. The Welcome to Maggie Perloff Show. That, you know, this play, Wicked, had Indita Menzel, the most famous Broadway singer of all time, and Kristen Chenoweth, the most famous Broadway actress of all time. Is the new cast going to live up? And you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. Like, it's hard. Like, Hamilton. Like, nothing ever lives up to the original cast. That's a problem. That's why movies of Broadway musicals never work.
Do you realize how confused people must be? This is a sports show. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Yeah. We talk about sports on this show. Yeah. We got onto Broadway musicals because a story that Bogish brought us last segment was a new Wicked Barbie doll that's in stores now for the holidays accidentally put a porn website on the side of the box instead of like wicked.com.
Yeah, but one thing.
Continue.
Wicked's the most popular play, I think, of all time. It's the longest running. More people who are listening to this show have probably seen Wicked, because if you go to Wicked, nobody's from New York. It is quite mainstream. That's why this movie is getting so much hype. I think more people probably saw Wicked than watched that Kentucky Duke game last night. So I don't think this is like...
Doubt it.
It's a huge cult. Oh, definitely. Wicked is enormous. It's probably like the play.
Well, if Cooper Flagg somehow finds his way into Wicked, then maybe it's a little more in our wheelhouse. But anyway, that's why we're talking about Broadway shows. That's why Manny played the Wicked theme song. I don't even know what...
Defying Gravity.
Kevin.
Everybody knows Defy. I mean, Matt, you're kidding, right? You know that song, right?
I don't. I've never seen Wicked. I don't know
about
it. Oh,
my God. Yeah, but if you watch an NFL game, the Target, the store, they run Wicked ads like the entire game. You ever notice those?
No, I've noticed them, but I'm on a quad box, so I can mute all the commercials. Kevin, you want to weigh in on the college football playoff rankings from the Oregon Ducks point of view. Good morning.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to dispute what Perloff said about flying in and out of Atlanta. I've never had a good of experience going in there. Flying in on Delta, I figured out that Delta stands for doesn't ever leave the airport.
Oh, Kevin, you're so right. And how come every time you land at a terminal in Atlanta, if you have to connect flights, your flight will be 15 terminals away from where you land?
I'm actually going to totally disagree with you guys. I think Atlanta has more flights than any city in the country. And I have friends that are like, that's one reason you live there, because you can get there right on, like, you can fly out so easily.
Do you ever have to connect through Atlanta?
Yeah, all the time. You ever have to connect through Chicago?
Oh, I don't like Chicago either, but I've had terrible, terrible experiences in Atlanta. I'm with Kevin.
I've had two heart attacks running from terminal to terminal in Atlanta, so I just can't agree. Yeah. Listen, Dan Lanning, the week after they beat Ohio State, they were ranked number one, and he was in a press conference in Oregon, and they asked him, how do you feel about being number one? And he said, who cares? And I think the only reason he does care is if they maintain that position is so they get a first-week bye. But you got to remember, his first game as Oregon Ducks head coach was in September of 2022, Bo Nix's first game with the Ducks. They lost 49-3. And I don't think Lanning is really going to believe that their team is as good as everybody says they are until they can beat Georgia or another powerhouse in the SEC. That's just my thought.
And to be fair, though, Kevin, remember Bo Nix's record against Georgia in four games? Like, he was like 2 interceptions. I mean, like 20 interceptions. But that being said,
it
doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if they're what they are ranked, because they have to win. To get the bye, they have to win the title game, right, Kevin? So it's really irrelevant where they are.
Right. No, against Georgia, Bo Nix's completion rate was 80%, but it was all to the Georgia cornerbacks. So it didn't work out too well.
Kevin, well put.
I mean, Oregon has to, it's going to be Oregon, Ohio State. One of those teams will get a bye. We're good.
Coming up next, it's Wednesday. And around here on Wednesdays, we do something called The Great Debate, inspired by the news of the week. What will it be this week? Packing a punch next.